Good morning to you all. Thank you all for being here this morning. I would like to thank the elders for letting me come to speak to you all this morning from the Word of God, and may it be something that you can take from here and apply it to your lives, and also to take it out to the world and help those that are lost, or help those that are struggling, or maybe help yourself better understand the Word of God. Go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is where we'll start this morning. And the lesson this morning will be about the choice to change. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." So taking what we know from this passage, Paul is urging us, he's commanding us, that we need to change our lives. Change our lives to something else, to something better than what it was before. So before we figure out what that is, what we should change to be, let's look at what we are or what we once were. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll start there in verse 9. This morning I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, if you're following along with me this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll start there in verse 9. It says there, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." So in the first two verses of that passage we just read, verses 9 and 10, those people are outside of the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. And yet, the people that describes there, it was us at one point in our lives. It was who we were. It described us to a T. There's not anything in that list that would not describe us before God, before we came to the knowledge of Christ and were baptized into Him and gave our lives to Him. And then in verse 11 it says, "Such were some of you." So we have to make a change. We have to do something. We have to be washed. We have to be sanctified. We have to be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. There has to be a change from who we once were to something else. So we see that we need to remove these things from our lives. All of this stuff it talks about, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, homosexuals, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, swindlers. We can't be those people anymore. But all that stuff, it takes effort. It takes money. It takes time. It takes our thoughts that used to be spent on pursuing those sins. What do we do with that? Where do we use our energy now? Please turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin there in verse 17. "So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on a new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you are sealed with the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. I know that there's a lot to unpack in this passage, and there's quite a bit we can take from this. And beginning there in verse 17 through 19, Paul's talking about don't let our commitment that we initially made to be Christians be lost. Don't let our heart become hardened to the call of the gospel. Remember why we became Christians in the first place. Remember that we were without God. We were without hope. And that we were taught at the beginning that we need to change who we were. And then continuing in verse 20, Paul brings up this point again, that if we've heard Christ, we need to change. We are shown that we need to change to be like Christ. And we can't go back to what we once were. We can't go back, as it says in verse 22, the old self. We lay that aside, which is it's a corrupt self. It's something that will not last. So how do we do that? How do we lay aside what we once were? Well, we replace those evil attributes with holy ones. Verse 25, laying aside all falsehood, speak to each other in truth. Replace falsehood with truth. 26, uncontrolled wrath. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the devil have an opportunity to sin, to let sin come in your life in verse 27. Letting sin control you versus conquering sin. Verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Verse 29, replacing foul language with words of encouragement. 31 through 32, replacing divisive behavior, bitterness, clamor, anger, with kindness and tender-hearted encouragement, forgiveness. So we've seen all these things that we need to do. We've seen all of this that Paul lays out before us. And I think of the example of Paul when I see this list, because I think Paul was writing about himself, about who he was before he knew God, before he was a Christian. He murdered brethren. You know, if there was anyone that had an excuse to say, I'm too bad to become a Christian, it was Paul. Even when he was converted and went to Jerusalem, there were a lot of brethren that didn't accept him because he had a reputation for killing and imprisoning Christians. But he overcame that because he changed who he was. He replaced all of this evilness that was in him with good and was an effective worker for Christ, just like we can be. It reminds me of in Genesis when Joseph was taken to the land of Egypt, and he went through all this terrible stuff. He was imprisoned, and he was a slave first, and then he was imprisoned for wrongful accusations, and then he ended up through God's power and wisdom becoming second in command in Egypt. And at the end of the day, when his family comes down and they come to him and they realize that he's their brother, they say, we're sorry for what we did to you. We're sorry we sold you into slavery. And he said, you all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so we look at Paul's life, we look at all these things that are evil. We have the capability to do evil on the left side. Verses 20, you know, false speech, uncontrolled wrath, controlled by sin, stealing selfishly, foul speech, or being divisive. Or we can do the things on the right side. We can speak truth. We can have righteous anger. We can conquer sin. We can work generously so we can give to other people. We can have words of encouragement where foul speech once was. We can be kind and tenderhearted instead of being divisive. So how do we add these things? Turn with me to Psalms 119. Psalm 119, this is the Psalm of David. It's one of my favorite Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 11. And I apologize if I quote it wrong. Growing up, we had memory class, and it was in the Old King James. So I could probably say it in the Old King James, but I don't want to quote the passage incorrectly. It says there in Psalm 119:11, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you." So we need to study the word. We need to make it a part of who we are, a part of our heart. When the Bible talks about the heart, it doesn't talk about the physical blood pump that's right here. It talks about who you are, the inner part of your man. We talk a lot about, or we think a lot about training and that sort of thing. You know, police officers and firefighters and men in military, they're trained in such a way that whenever a situation, they don't have to think, they just react. Because that's the inner part of who they are. And it should be the same way with us. We should treasure the word so much in us and be a part of us so much that we will not sin against God. Going back to Joseph when he was in a situation with Potiphar's wife. And she wanted him to commit adultery with him. And what did he say? He said, "I cannot sin against God." He purposed in his heart. He had the word of God in his heart. When that situation came up, he had every excuse. "Well, I'm away from my family. No one will know. You know, I'm thousands of miles away from anyone that knows God. Who cares?" That's not what Joseph did. And that shouldn't be what we do either. Turn over to Psalms chapter 1. So how do we treasure the word of God? How do we treasure the word of God in our heart? Psalms chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." So looking at verse 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. This person doesn't take the advice of those who do not know God. This person does not hang around people, or not associate, but doesn't take the wisdom of sinners, doesn't partake in the atmosphere of sinners, and does not do what the sinners do. And so that comparison is the same thing we just looked at in the last slide, isn't it? So instead of someone who listens to the counsel of the wicked, stands in the path of sinners, where does he get his counsel from? So the Psalms and the Proverbs, they're very poignant in the fact that they'll give you a negative and then give you the positive, right? So the negative is, don't do these things. Don't listen to sinners. Don't hang around sinners. Don't partake in what the sinners are doing. But delight in the law of the Lord. Meditate day and night in the law of the Lord. So are we making that choice? Are we letting the world change us into being more like the world? Are we letting God's word change us to be more like God, be more like Christ? You know, I think I love this imagery here. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You've ever seen somebody that they're just eat up with something? You know, back home, when I was in, I think it was fifth or fourth grade, My mom bought me a book. It's about that thick, and it was on the last Kentucky basketball season. And I read that book from cover to cover. I knew all the stats. I could tell you how many wins we had. I could tell you, Rajon Rondo had this dunk in this game to win this game, and Shigari Alin missed this block in this game, and that's why we lost. I delighted in that. I knew everything there was to know about that. If anyone asked me anything about the 2006-2007 Kentucky Wildcats, I knew it. I've since forgot a lot of those things. But my delight was in that. And we should be the same way with the Word of God. When someone comes up to us and says, well, what does the Word of God say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Or what does the Word of God say about how we're saved? We should be able to talk about that and be comfortable talking about that, because we're changed, because we are different. We are like Christ. So the first way is study. The second way is prayer. Turn over to James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 16. It's kind of funny. This passage came up. I'm a part of a study in Bowling Green with some men that I was a part of when I was there. Since they're doing it online, this verse came up, and it's one of my favorite verses. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The Old King James says availeth much. It can do so much. And one of the guys that was on that call is a preacher there in Bowling Green. And he said, getting to know you guys, this passage means so much more to me because I know you're trying to live righteously. So the prayers of our brethren should be something that's very important to us. And it shouldn't be something that's only used on physical ailments. What does he say here in the beginning of verse 16? Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. As I said in the last sermon that I did back in October, if there's anything that's bothering you, if there's anything, any sin that you're struggling with, tell somebody. Express every avenue to rid that from your life, as James implores us here in verse 16. So the third thing that we can do to add these things to our life is works. Turn over to Romans chapter 9, or chapter 12, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. It says there, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, preserving in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Blessed are those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap a burning coal on his head. Do not become overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So there's some things that we can do maybe in private, or we can do with one another, studying, praying. But there's also things that we can do out to all men. Not just things that involve study or involve looking only to God's Word, but doing, not just being hearers of God's Word, but doers of God's Word, as James says. There's been a lot of conversations that I've had with older, well, I guess wiser brethren. That would be a better way to put it. But brethren who have been through a lot more than I have. I think about, there's a man in Bowling Green that is a faithful Christian there. And recently his wife passed away. I think it's been about a year now. Maybe 2 years ago she passed away. But she, about 15 years ago, had a stroke and was immobile. She was unable to take care of herself. And she could barely eat. She couldn't hardly function. And when I was talking to him about, after she passed, about, you know, what was that like to go from, you know, having your wife there and doing all these things. And then it's almost like physically she's a completely different person. And he said, you know, I didn't worry about where the money was going to come from. I didn't worry about, you know, why. I just got busy working. And he said, that taught me more than anything could have about our reliance on God. Because without him, she couldn't do anything. She couldn't eat. She couldn't get in bed. She couldn't change her clothes. And we're the same way. But her mind was still there. It was something I would go over there about once a month and take them food. And she would remember exactly where we left off every time. You know, what we were doing, what we were talking about. We were talking about, you know, something that happened in the news, or, you know, what was I dealing with in my personal life? And she would remember all that stuff because her delight was in the law of the Lord. And so should our delight be as well. So, Tucker, I've done all these things. So I'm done, right? I don't have to do anymore. I've taken all the bad stuff away. I've added the good stuff, and now I can just coast, right? Let's look at what Paul has to say about that. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "In order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold for that which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything you have a different attitude, God will also reveal that to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard which you have attained." So Paul, an apostle, if anyone had taken his old life and put it away and said, "Well, I'm good now, I don't have to do anymore," Paul says, "I haven't even attained it. I'm not, my righteousness is not where it is. It's in the righteousness of God." And we should always be looking to the scriptures. We should always be looking for opportunities to pray for each other and talk to each other about our sins. And we should be always looking for opportunities to help each other, to put ourselves in situations where we can talk to people of the world about the gospel. Because that's what Paul did. And that's what we should do too. And look down, it's on my same passage, or my same page here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there be any excellence, if there be anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." You know, I think that if I had all of these things mastered in verse 8, how good would I be for the Lord? How much more would I be able to proclaim His gospel? And it says to dwell on these things. So we don't use that word very often. Dwell, that's an old word. But it means to live. You live on these things. These are things that should be part of us. Things that we should be continually working on. Think of it like a house. You know, if one of us, like we were talking with the Dixons over there about the recent storm that went through Texas and how all these people had to repair their homes because of the water damage and the frost and the freezing. If your roof was leaking, you'd fix it, right? If your hardwood floor had a scratch in it, you'd buff it out, you'd make it right. So our bodies are the same, our mind is the same way. If we don't have truth, if we're not honorable, if we're not right, if we're not pure, if we're not lovely, if we're not doing things of good report, if we're not doing things of excellence or worthy of praise, we should change that. We should fix that. And so what Paul is saying here is not that we should be perfect people, but that when we see a neglect or a need in our life, we change it. We change to be more like Christ. So let's look at one more passage just to reinforce this thought. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and beginning in verse 6. Paul is talking to Timothy about he's ready to go. He's ready to go home in this passage. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and at the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but all those who have loved his appearing." Paul says, I'm at the end here. And to have that attitude and have that perspective of my duty and service to God is over, because that's how Paul viewed his life. His life was not about himself anymore. Just like it said in the passage in Ephesians, we don't steal anymore for selfishness. We work so we can give to other people. Our life is not our own anymore. It's God's. It's Christ's. And Paul lived that life. And so can we. So how do we keep going? How do we continue to be the people we ought to be? Going back to Psalm 1. If you want to turn back there, we'll look at that one more time. Psalm 1. "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." So to keep going, we gotta remove temptations, or we gotta deal with them. You know, I think about in this first verse, this guy, he's walking by, he's walking, and then he stands, and then he sits. He could have just kept on walking. You know, if one of us had a issue with alcohol, and every day on our way to work we pass a liquor store, wouldn't it be worth our time and our money to go a different way to work every day so we don't have to deal with that temptation? Or could we overcome that temptation just by saying no continually to it? And the same thing is true with Psalm 119:11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Do we treasure the word? Do we delight in the law of the Lord? Let's also remember who we are. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." All those things we read in the first passage in 1 Corinthians, the homosexuals, the fornicators, the adulterers, the liars, the stealers, swindlers, all that, Christ died for them. He died for me. He died for all of us. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in that state, Christ died for us, much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. So if you want some motivation to change, to be more like Christ, read this passage. Because too often, we don't remember what price it cost God for us to become Christians. And if you're not a Christian right now, this may not mean as much to you as it does to us. But it can. Christ is willing to wipe away all your sins if you obey him. If you put on Christ like a Christian should. Just as Peter said in Acts chapter 2, turn over there with me. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Before this, Peter begins his sermon at the day of Pentecost, and he basically lays out the evidence against the Jews there that they have crucified Christ and they need to repent of it. And he says there, he concludes his sermon by saying this, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom everyone who has ever sinned crucified." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You know, I think about my own conversion, and you know, I was raised going to church, but I didn't know what this passage meant for a long time until I was older. And it can take some time to understand that my actions killed the Son of God. The things that I was, the things that I refuse to put away, or the things that I continue to do that are wrong, or that I might trip up on or sin, Christ died for that. And so we need to be always on guard to not sin, but we should also be building up our spiritual body, our spiritual house. We should be adding those things that it says in Philippians chapter 4, wherever we see need. So this morning, just some conclusions to work on. We have to constantly work to be better, to be more like Christ. Even the Apostle Paul says that he had not attained it yet. He was not righteous enough of in himself to obtain the salvation, and neither are we. Doing the will of God and not just studying helps us understand what we study and what we hear. It gives us more opportunities to think about the perspective of others, to be able to reach others, to be able to work through our own issues and our own sins. God will receive you if you commit your life to him, as it says here in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Keep fighting. Keep pressing on towards the goal, because we serve a God that no matter who's in the White House, or, you know, who's the mayor of Knoxville or Knox County, or the governor of Tennessee, God will sustain us, as it says in Psalms 1. We're not like the chaff. You know, it's talking about, that passage is talking about wheat. And when you process wheat, you have the grain, which is what you want to keep, and you have the chaff. And what they would do is they would have these places called threshing floors. And it'd be on the top of a hill, be really windy, because then you could throw the grain up and the chaff would blow away and the grain would fall back down. We need to be like the grain. And God teaches us how to do that. And if we stop delighting in the law of the Lord, if we stop looking to God for our strength and our hope, we're going the wrong way. We're going back to those descriptors that were in 1 Corinthians that were some of us. That shouldn't be us anymore. So let's change in the right way. If you're a Christian today and you've seen some things that you've come to the realization that there's things in your life that are not good and that you need to work on, you can come forward if that's something that you need to publicly repent of, or if that's something you need to do in private. Feel free to talk to any of us about that. Any of the brethren here would be happy to help you in that. But if you're not a Christian and you don't know what it's like to be a part of this spiritual walk, this spiritual race that we're a part of, and you'd like to know, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.